This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Hyperbaric Medical Solutions. If you suffer from a diabetic complication, radiation damage, stroke, or a degenerative condition, hyperbaric oxygen therapy may be right for you. Ask your doctor about how HBOT can help you achieve your optimal health. Call Hyperbaric Medical Solutions at 844-877-HBOT or visit hyperbaricmedicalsolutions.com/Hoffman to learn more.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome, listeners. Ready for a little bit of Intelligent Medicine? I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. I'll be with you for this hour and for many of you next hour. We got lots to talk about this weekend. It's Father's Day, so very happy Father's Day to all of you out there who are celebrating. And we've got plenty to talk about. We invite your phone calls. 888-302-3684 is our number. And we've got some interesting stuff to share with you. So we're going to talk about migraine headaches. And according to a new study, this performed at Cincinnati Children's Headache Center, researchers looked at children, teen, and young adults with migraines, and what they found was that a large percentage had deficiencies in riboflavin, that's vitamin B2, commonly prescribed for migraineurs. It's a part of migraine formulas, high-dose riboflavin, at a dose of 100, 200, even 400 milligrams per day. It's going to make your urine look magic marker yellow because that's the critical B vitamin that tends to make your pee look a little bit fluorescent. And they also found that they had deficiencies in vitamin D and coenzyme Q10. Now, coenzyme Q10, that's an energy vitamin, but maybe, just maybe, the brain relies on coenzyme Q10 in some way, shape, or form, and a deficiency in coenzyme Q10 can predispose to migraines. So the way it shook out was that girls and young women were at higher risk than boys to have coenzyme Q10 deficiencies. Boys and young men tended to have vitamin D deficiencies. So the researchers report that a high percentage of pediatric migraine patients in the general population may be deficient in riboflavin, coenzyme Q10, vitamin D, and one other, folate, and when identified as deficient, may benefit from supplementation of these vitamins. So there's a lot that can be done on the migraine front besides powerful addictive medications. And I'm not saying it's so simple as, you know, take a simple vitamin. But many of our patients obtain relief with diet change. Certain foods are migraine triggers. Sometimes sleep deprivation is a migraine trigger. Others may benefit from medical marijuana, particularly a fraction of marijuana, not the stoner part, the THC that gets you high, but the CBD, the cannabidiol, that has not even sedating effects, but anti-inflammatory effects and nervous system regulating effects. A recent study has shown that medical marijuana can reduce the frequency of migraine attacks. Botox is another treatment that can be employed because muscle tension in the scalp and forehead is implicated in headaches. And so there are a variety of tools that can be used besides powerful drugs. 888-302-3684 is our number. And let's talk to Elena in Carmel, New York. How you doing, Elena?
Taking the call. I'm calling on behalf of a friend who was treated for ovarian cancer 3 years ago and has done very well, took the traditional route. And in the past 6 months, the CA-125 has been elevated twice in a row. I do not know the numbers. My question
is... Okay, so for a listening audience, what we're talking about is it's a blood test that is done for detecting... it's better for following the course of an already diagnosed ovarian cancer. They've done some studies that show You know, people say, well, why don't we screen for ovarian cancer? Every woman every year should get a CA-125. Well, that's not a great idea because a lot of women with ovarian cancer have low CA-125s, and sometimes when you have a high CA-125, it's not indicative of ovarian cancer but can throw you into a panic and necessitate unnecessary tests and even exploratory surgery. So once you have ovarian cancer, it's good to follow the CA-125. If it was high to begin with, it should come down after the surgery or after whatever treatment you've undertaken. It should stay low, just like a PSA stays low after a man gets treated for prostate cancer. And so the CA-125 is climbing again, which is concerning, right?
Absolutely. So my specific question, I'll have a million, but I'll just confine it. She is taking, I won't say the name of the product, but it's a product that you probably are aware of. It's a balance of vegetables and fruits, blah, blah. My question is, if you could take 3 pills of each a day or more, my question is, it's two parts. On the fruits, there's about 12 fruits in 3 caps. My question is there a fructose component? It's supposed to be dehydrated, so you're getting all the phytonutrients, but I'm not so sure about the fructose component, and could that be concerning?
I know where you're going with this, but I think you're slicing and dicing a little too finely here, because this, whatever this concoction is, just, and there are many of them that are marketed, especially on the AM radio, different forms of fruit and vegetable powders, which are fine. You know, there's some benefit to that, especially for people who don't consume enough fruits and vegetables. But actually, there's no substitute for, real live, raw or cooked fruits and vegetables. So the powders offer some of the benefits, but certainly not all of the benefits of eating these fresh phytonutrients. And, you know, whether it's her whole situation with a life-threatening disorder is going to stand or fall on whether she takes some dehydrated fruit and vegetable powder, I don't think that that's really that decisive. There's not going to be a lot of fructose in a dehydrated powder anyway. So that's not driving the cancer. I mean, on this theory that I think where you're going with this is sugar drives cancer. Is the fructose going to be driving the cancer? No, probably not. There's no downside. Is there a real upside? Is this some wonderful, you know, protective shield, a panacea, you know, the answer to cancer? No. But go ahead with the second part.
So the second part is in the vegetable component, there is the soy. It's non-GMO, you know, in its natural state, so they say. So is there a little bit of, because I actually started to take it, and I don't use this as my one and only. I follow a good diet. I try 80% of my day. But as a secondary support, you know, I just started popping them. But is the soy an issue as well? I'm not ill, you know, as far as I know, you know, but in terms of someone who has a diagnosed cancer, would that be another issue? Or should it be avoided entirely?
Well, first of all, there's probably minuscule amounts of soy in there. So that minimizes the potential downside, if there is any. And that's a big question. Is soy dangerous for women who've had some kind of hormonally mediated cancer? And the answer is probably not. And there may even be anti-cancer benefits to soy. Definitely there's some hormonal effects to soy, but you probably don't get them with a little bit of tiny amounts of soy extract in a powder like that. You might get that if you were having concentrated genistein or diadzin, which are the isoflavones from soy. They're sometimes used in menopause formulas. We don't even know if estrogen is bad in all cases of ovarian cancer. There's some women who have had ovarian cancer where the doctors say, look, you don't have hormonally responsive cancer. You're estrogen receptor, progesterone receptor negative in either breast cancer or ovarian cancer. They can actually type these cancers now to see if hormones influence the cancer. And if the receptors are negative, then women, especially young women who've had their uterus and ovaries taken out, say, at the age of 36, they may want to go on hormone replacement therapy because they're going through terrible, premature menopause. And in some cases, doctors say, fine, you can go on hormone replacement therapy because it's not going to affect your ovarian cancer. Less so with breast cancer, but potentially even with breast cancer. Suzanne Summers, who has had breast cancer, is a proponent of hormone replacement therapy for certain women who've had breast cancer. So you know, when you think of, you know, an artificial hormone or even a natural hormone that you take by mouth or as a cream, that's going to be infinitely more powerful than the tiny amount of soy residue that you're going to get in one of these powders. I think, yeah, you know, sort of astute questions, but maybe you're micro-focusing on this, on the supplements, rather than, you know, on the big picture. Okay? Thanks for your call. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684 is our number for Intelligent Medicine.
If you're interested in managing your blood pressure without medication, I have some exciting news about a new effective non-drug treatment. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, here to tell you about the Zona Plus. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. It's so effective, it works for 9 in 10 people. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. At least 22 clinical studies confirm regular use can result in an average decrease in blood pressure of 10% or more in just 4 to 8 weeks. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company is offering you special savings of $50 in free shipping. To find out more, go to tryzonanow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman to get your $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or tryzonanow.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And apropos of that announcement about our newsletter, please subscribe because we've got some great articles this week. The first in a three-part series on acid-blocking medication. Do you really need it for your GERD? Because new studies suggest that it's not about hyperacidity. Yeah, these acid blockers can provide you with temporary relief, but the real, true underlying cause of GERD, gastroesophageal reflux, heartburn, call it what you will, is inflammation. And if you don't quell the inflammation, then you can try to get off your medication, but it's going to come back. The symptoms are going to rebound with a vengeance, and you don't want that because you might be consigned to a lifetime dependency on powerful medications like Protonix, Prevacid, Nexium, Mass Effex, Dexilant, you name it. Those medications sometimes people take for decades, and the side effects are numerous. We enumerate them in our article. All right, let's talk to Stephen. Stephen, welcome to Intelligent Medicine. Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Hoffman. I enjoy the show, and I appreciate you taking my call.
My pleasure.
I'm 57 years old, and Tuesday morning at 2 a.m., I woke up to the classic symptoms of a heart attack.
Too young. Sorry.
Yeah, way too young, right? And I go to the gym 4 or 5 times a week.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I had pressure in my chest. I had tightness in my left arm, and I also had some tension in my jaw.
Yep.
Well, I suspected a heart attack, but then again, I also suffer from depression and anxiety. So I thought maybe I was having an anxiety attack.
Sure.
Because sometimes they can mimic
confusing.
Each other.
It's confusing, yeah.
Yeah, and I also, I mean, the total uneasiness. I just felt horrible. I didn't know what to do with myself. I was going from my bedroom down to the living room sofa trying to fall asleep. Yeah. Finally, I fell asleep probably about 4 o'clock, slept for maybe about 3 hours, totally sweating.
Yeah, but the idea is, I mean, in future, you got to pay attention to those symptoms because, you know, critical window of opportunity for saving heart muscle if you're having a heart attack. You know, at the very least, take an aspirin, call 911, boom. You know, they can send you home because they think you're having a panic attack, but hey, it's worth it.
Well, that afternoon I went to my GP and she did an EKG. She listened to my heart and took blood and said, oh, it's possible you might have been having an anxiety attack, wrote a prescription for something to calm me down.
See, she wasn't even paying that much attention to it. See, I mean, that's, oh boy, yeah, okay.
About that, you know? Well, 9 o'clock that night, I get a phone call saying, get to the ER immediately. The blood test came back that you did have a heart attack. The next day they transported me down to NYU, Langone Medical Center.
So we get the picture. I mean, it's useful to go through all that you went through. I mean, it's a teachable moment here for people who experience this type of heart pain, even if they've had anxiety, that it's important to get to the doctor, get to the hospital, get an evaluation. Unfortunately, blood tests, you know, should be done on an emergency basis in an ER rather than a doctor's office because, you know, there's going to be some delay and delay can be dangerous. So anyway, so you have a question.
Yeah, well,
what's the bottom line? What's your question?
Perform catheterization, my arteries were clear. I did not require a stent. What they found was after 57 years, they found that I was born with an abnormal heart. The artery on my right side starts off on the left side of my heart, and then I get wrapped around.
So you have what's called an anatomical anomaly, which means that the circulation is impaired, not just because of atherosclerosis, and there may be some, but because you have a narrowed artery. So your question is, because we've got to get to a question, we're running a little short on time, what's the question?
Right. Okay, my enzyme level is 11.
Don't tell me anymore. Just tell me the question.
Is, upon leaving, I said, do I need to change my lifestyle? And they said, no, just go back to what you feel you could handle. Go back to your old lifestyle,
handle. So hang tight. Yeah, right on that theme. So here is an opportunity that is being squandered. You know, there may be elements of your lifestyle that are positive, such as your exercise. And I don't know that much about your exercise. I mean, the fact that you go to the gym, that's good, you know, but your exercise style, may be counterproductive, may actually put excess stress on your heart. You may need to move more towards an aerobic program of exercise rather than just bursts of heavy exertion, which may actually cause, you know, if you have narrowed arteries, some ischemia or some lack of circulation. That's number one. Number two, virtually any time a person can make improvements. So I thought I was on a fabulous diet, a few months ago, really great lifestyle. I went on a paleo diet, a diet which is even more refined and, you know, more hyper-focused on healthy foods than I was, and I reaped additional health benefits. So, yes, diet, exercise, stress reduction for you, anxiety and depression may be risk factors for cardiac problems. We know that that has a deleterious effect on circulation, and high levels of cortisol may have erosive effects on the arterial walls. So, yes, you should do the lifestyle stuff. Keep listening. I know you enjoy the program. You need to follow up on the lifestyle changes that'll make a difference for you. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Do you know there is a silent killer living among us? High blood pressure. It affects nearly 1 in 3 Americans and is a primary risk factor for stroke and heart attack. The CDC estimates that almost 20% of those with high blood pressure don't even know they have it. That's not surprising, since high blood pressure or hypertension is often symptomless. Research studies have shown that a daily dose of aged garlic extract can safely and effectively help to reduce blood pressure, as well as benefiting a number of other cardiovascular risk factors. And the most researched and highly respected aged garlic extract is all-natural Kyolic aged garlic extract. Odorless and organically grown, Kyolic aged garlic extract has been clinically tested to support blood pressure and cardiovascular health. So, along with getting your blood pressure checked regularly, get Kyolic Formula 109 for blood pressure and cardiovascular support today. Available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine, and a happy Father's Day to all you celebrating out there. 888-302-3684. That's our number. And let's talk to Lisa in Redford, Michigan. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Dr. Hoffman, my problem is I was diagnosed a while back that I have something called collagenous colitis. And,
collagenous colitis. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the first doctor told me that I had all the tests and everything, and he said my numbers and my gallbladder were up, so he wanted me to have my gallbladder out. Mm. But I didn't like that idea, so I got a second opinion. I went through another endoscopy, but she told me I didn't need to have my gallbladder out if it doesn't bother me. But no, she's got me on children's Imodium, which helps to cut down how many times I go, but my stools are the same, and they make me very tired and depressed because I don't see normalcy anywhere.
Sure.
And I don't know what else to do.
So the symptoms of it are like urgency, diarrhea, you know, gotta go. Sometimes it catches you up by surprise. Hard to go someplace without pre-planning. Where's the next toilet stop? That whole thing, right?
Yes. So I don't even know. I've never heard of this before.
Okay, so, let me explain what this is, because a lot of our listeners are familiar with colitis, ulcerative colitis, where there's diarrhea, cramps, bleeding. Then there's Crohn's disease, which is a subtype of colitis. And collagenous colitis is less common, but it doesn't usually involve ulceration, but it does involve changes to the intestinal wall, and the symptoms can mimic that of ulcerative colitis. And so I treat a ton of patients with Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. However, I can count on two hands the number of patients that I've seen with collagenous colitis, less common, but I've seen a few in my career. And I wasn't sure whether they'd respond to the same thing that I use for Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, which is I put them on a diet called the specific carbohydrate diet, or the SCD. Now, the SCD is a diet that is kind of like the paleo diet in that it has no grains, but it's not like a no-carbohydrate diet. It's not a ketogenic diet or an Atkins diet where they totally eliminate carbohydrates or minimize them very drastically. It's a diet where they offer you specific carbohydrates, which are more digestible and less likely to cause intestinal fermentation. And the idea is to, quote, break the vicious cycle. In fact, that's the name of the book that outlines the specific carbohydrate diet. It's by Elaine Gotchel, and it's been a bestseller in that community. And there's literally, if not hundreds of thousands of people, many tens of thousands of people across the country and the world, who have followed this diet with success for colitis. And I would suggest that you follow the diet. Now, as to the supplements, I'm not sure that the same supplements that I use for ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease apply to collagenous colitis. But I would try the diet, because many of my patients who have collagenous colitis report improvements in their symptoms. Now, the nice thing about it is that collagenous colitis, less dangerous, less likely to cause you to lose your colon or, you know, get colon cancer, God forbid, or have anemia due to blood loss or body-wide symptoms because of a serious autoimmune disease. But it's a nuisance. And in this case, it's just treated with an anti-diarrheal medication. And oh, by the way, this Imodium that you're taking has actually, interestingly, it's become a drug of abuse because it offers a cheap high to people who can't get a hold of, fentanyl, or oxycodone, or even heroin, because it has opiate-like effects. Opiates slow down the gastrointestinal transit. They give you constipation, but in your case, that would be a good thing. And that's why Imodium, which sounds a little bit like immobilized, doesn't it? Well, it kind of slows down your intestinal transit and provides you with relief, but doesn't get to the bottom of the problem, which is that there may be a bad overgrowth of harmful bacteria in your intestinal tract. We call this dysbiosis. That is addressed by taking the specific carbohydrate diet. So that I would try. Have you heard of this? Is this something completely new to you?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so are you, just Google SCD, or specific carbohydrate diet. Get the book Breaking the Vicious Cycle by Elaine Gotchel. Follow it faithfully for 6 weeks. Hopefully get some help from a nutritionist who's experienced in administering the diet, because there's no one size fits all for the diet. You may have to tailor the diet specifically to your particular, food likes, dislikes, food intolerances, and, you know, the degree of severity of your symptoms. And I think you'll achieve relief. And I want you to do this. If you try this, do it for a couple of months, and call us back. Let us know. Let us know how it's working for you.
Can I have one more question regarding the collagenous thing?
Yeah.
There's some supplements that I wanted to try for other reasons, like BioSil for hair, skin, nails, and joints.
Shouldn't be a problem.
Oh, there's no connection between the collagen that in the supplement to the collagen that I have?
No. I mean, it's not going to be harmful. It's not causing the problem. It's a neutral vis-a-vis that. I mean, look, there probably are some, you know, too many supplements. If you take like lots of vitamin C, lots of magnesium, for example, then it's going to produce diarrhea. You got to be sensible about your supplement consumption. There are supplements that can make this worse, but the supplements don't cause this condition. And it's not that clear that supplements will clear it up, but supplements are not likely to cause it. Okay.
The collagen in those collagen supplements that's supposed
not
to be good for your hair
not
and
a problem.
Nails.
I know it's collagen, but it's not, the science is not there to suggest that it's causing the problem. 888-302-3684 is their number. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And here's an article that is very discouraging because we've been talking about how doctors prescribe too many antibiotics. They prescribe antibiotics at the drop of a hat. In fact, there's an initiative underway among doctors to curtail the overprescription of antibiotics because we've known for a long time that if you have a cold, taking an antibiotic isn't going to help. Doctors know this. The basic science is there because viruses are not killed by antibiotics. Bacteria are killed by antibiotics, but it used to be thought that if you have some yellow mucus, if you're coughing up yellowish or greenish material, that means you have a bacterial infection. But studies now suggest that even in those cases, the vast majority of those cases resolve on their own without antibiotics. If you take antibiotics, they'll be gone in a couple of weeks. And if you take no antibiotics, they'll be gone in 14 days. So, discouraging article that's in the Annals of Internal Medicine. They surveyed doctors at the Veterans Affairs system. Okay, that's the much criticized VA hospital system, which, by the way, I trained at. And it was a very good training program, and the medicine was high quality. But the quality of the care is very variable, and it actually depends on the doctor you see. Antibiotics were prescribed in more than two-thirds of visits overall for upper respiratory infections. In other words, you have an upper respiratory infection, you go to the doctor at the VA, and two-thirds of the time you're going to get an antibiotic. This proportion rose from 67% in 2005 to 69% in 2012. So it's getting worse. The proportion of antibiotic prescriptions for macrolides, that would be drugs like Biaxin, rose from 37% to 47%. These are powerful drugs. An even greater predictor of antibiotic prescribing than how severe the symptoms were if you had a fever, or if you had a diagnosis of sinusitis or bronchitis, those predicted whether you were going to get an antibiotic. But the bigger predictor was which provider the patient saw. 10% of the providers at the VA prescribed antibiotics 95% of the time. Another 10% prescribed them in less than 40% of the time. So there's some savvy doctors at the VA who know that antibiotics are virtually worthless in many of these situations. Yet there are others who are either ignorant or they're doing a CYA, and they say, well, just in case, I'll give you an antibiotic. 95% of the time. So, this problem remains pervasive in spite of the fact that antibiotics have many deleterious effects and are often completely unnecessary. 888-302-3684 is our number. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you this weekend for Intelligent Medicine.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor here, president of the Texas Organic Research Center. As you probably know, it's a toxic world out there, but we can do something about it. Become knowledgeable consumers and use products that are safe and healthy, such as natural supplements that help protect the body's cells from toxic exposure. One of my favorites is Reg Active with ME3, the only probiotic proven to actually produce glutathione in the body. It's the body's master antioxidant, unique in its ability to repair and rebuild cellular damage caused by free radicals and exposure to environmental toxins. Glutathione decreases as we age. Reg Active is great for rebuilding it, and I strongly recommend it.
Look for Reg Active at Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold. Revolutionary. Remarkable. Reg Active.
You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly and the Hoffman Center. You can find a lot more on Intelligent Medicine at drhoffman.com. Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine podcast and automatically get a new episode 5 days a week. And please rate and review the podcast on iTunes to help us spread the word about Intelligent Medicine. Also go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal or call the Hoffman Center and talk to one of our friendly supplement advisors. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients at the Hoffman Center. Finally, become a patient at the Hoffman Center. I'll personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all the Intelligent Medicine principles you hear about on the radio show and podcast, or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our Hoffman Center nutritionist. You already know her as a frequent contributor on Intelligent Medicine, and she'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Thanks for listening and for helping to spread the word about Intelligent Medicine. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Rella Hoffman with you on this Father's Day. And Charlie in Lexington, Virginia. How are you?
Okay, Charlie. How are you, Doc?
Hey, it sounds like you're calling the pet show there. You got your whole entourage.
Oh, yeah,
he just started.
I have a puppy.
Oh, okay. Well, he can't help himself.
No.
He hasn't been to obedience school yet.
No, not yet. I'm undergoing lumbar surgery in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And I asked my doctor about what supplements I should stop, and he said St. John's wort.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I went on your site and read your article and listened to the two podcasts.
Oh, great. Yeah, because we did talk about this to a large extent. So, okay.
Now, there are a few supplements that aren't on there that I take that I'm concerned about. Number one is melatonin.
Yep.
Is that contraindicated?
It should not be. It should not be. In fact, melatonin in some surgical situations is helpful, because if you go under the knife in a really big surgery and you're anesthetized and, you're in a hospital for several days and your sleep-wake cycle gets disrupted, melatonin can kind of keep things normal in terms of your circadian rhythm. It should not affect the surgery. Look, the main things with, what can interfere with surgery? Let's go through the categories for our listeners, because you're an aficionado. You listen to my podcast, you read my articles, so things that affect bleeding. And they exaggerate a little bit when they talk about, don't take any fish oil, there are actually some settings in which fish oil is helpful, for surgery. Vitamin E. Don't take any vitamin E. Well, vitamin E is not a blood thinner unless you take a fairly high amount. And you have to take at least 200, maybe 400, 800 of vitamin E to get a blood thinning effect. If you take, 50 or 100 or even, 200, you're not likely to get a severe blood thinning effect. Ginkgo biloba is probably something you shouldn't take. It's a bit of a blood thinner. Sometimes when combined with aspirin, it can cause more severe bleeding. So the blood thinning is an issue. The thing with the St. John's wort is that St. John's wort alters the metabolism of certain medications. So right. If you're taking medications, pain relievers, or anesthetics during the time of surgery, then maybe, just maybe, the St. John's wort could alter their bioavailability, change the equation a little bit in terms of how the drugs that you're administered will work in your body. So maybe not a good idea to take that.
I told the surgeon that I take natto and I take MK7.
Yeah.
He said he didn't see any problem with those two.
Well, that's good. That's good. I don't really see any problem with those either. And erroneously, some doctors said, don't take vitamin K because that'll make your blood clot. Well, it turns out that vitamin K will reverse the effects of blood thinners, but you could take a boatload of vitamin K. It won't thicken your blood. Your blood won't curdle with vitamin K.
Right.
So unless you're taking a blood thinner, vitamin K should not be contraindicated. Nattokinase is a clot buster. So that actually may be to your advantage. It's not going to cause you to bleed out or hemorrhage. But, one of the things that they do, right, I mean, I know this because the one time that I had a major surgery after my hip fracture a few years ago, they gave me injections of heparin right after the surgery, because when you're immobilized after surgery, you can get what's called a DVT, a deep vein thrombosis, or that can result in a pulmonary in your blood right after surgery, if you're lying about in bed. So the nattokinase, would be to your advantage. What kind of surgery are you having?
Lumbar.
Lumbar surgery. Okay.
Right.
So that's kind of a,
you know, it's a big surgery, but you're going to be mobilized pretty quickly. It's not a very bloody surgery.
Right.
You should recover very well.
Now, I'm not sure if I'm going to continue taking the vitamin E or not. I take that gamma E-gems.
That's a fairly potent vitamin E. You may want to, skip that for, a week or so before. No big deal. You're not going to become vitamin E deficient. Your body stores vitamin E for a little bit of time. Should not be a big issue.
Well, very good. I appreciate, your help.
Yeah, all the best to you on that surgery. And hey, you know what's real important with back surgery is the rehab. Rehab, rehab, rehab. You got to stick with it, because you'll get better results out of your back surgery. So best of luck to you. All right, it turns out that Ben Franklin was right. He said, early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Headline, late sleepers have worse diets than early risers. That's not surprising. Late sleepers who got at least 6.5 hours of shut-eye a night, it's important because late sleepers may not be getting enough sleep, regular sleep habits, but they were matched to early risers who got 6.5 hours of sleep or more. But the late sleepers had poor eating habits. They also tended to get less exercise. I find that mornings are ideal for my exercise. And, if I got up really late, maybe I wouldn't have time to exercise. So, this is, something that, I will recommend to patients desirous of improving their health. Get up early. I see this in kids a lot. Kids who sleep in really late, they have abysmal diets. And it's the converse as well. Weight and diet may help predict sleep quality. Overweight adults spend more of their sleep in REM stage than healthy weight adults do. Now, you may say, that's good. REM sleep, that's deep sleep. No, it turns out that there is a deeper form of sleep than the rapid eye movement stage of sleep when dreams typically occur. It's characterized by a faster heart rate and breathing rate, but it's also associated with less restorative sleep. The overweight adults have more fitful sleep, and research showed that increased protein predicted less stage 2 sleep. And so excess protein may be associated with sleep problems, according to this study. 22-ounce porterhouse steak consumed at 9:30 at night, go to sleep, maybe not so good for your sleep quality. This item from the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition this month reports that it's true that consuming cranberry juice lowers your risk of urinary tract infection. Okay? The research showed that consumption of a cranberry juice beverage lowered the number of clinical UTI episodes in women with a recent history of urinary tract infection. And that's good news for those of you who want to use a little bit of cranberry juice or cranberry juice capsules. Make sure it's non-sweetened, though, because the sugar in the cranberry juice may actually increase in the sweetened cranberry juice. Cranberry juice, very few people know what actual cranberry juice tastes like. It's tart. It makes your mouth go because it's not sweetened. But American Journal of Clinical Nutrition proves that cranberry juice is beneficial for women suffering from chronic UTIs. Another remedy that I use, it's D-mannose. D-mannose is a type of sugar that prevents the adherence of E. coli bacteria to your intestinal walls. Exercise may have therapeutic potential for expediting muscle repair in older populations. So, yet another reason why you should hit the gym regularly as you grow. Your muscle mass deteriorates as you get older. And exercise, it turns out, helps to facilitate muscle repair. So if you're injury prone, you may think, well, I'm going to just sit around not do any exercise. No. Exercise is beneficial when it comes to revving up the body's repair mechanisms that will help you repair injuries. 888-302-3684. We invite your phone calls during this next hour of Intelligent Medicine. Stay with us.